let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
¶¶ things about my wrists. They couldn't be loosened a little, could they?
What difference does it make? Tomorrow you won't feel any pain. But tonight is one night I'm going to make sure you stay tightly chained to me.
And to me.
Because my life will be forfeited if you escape, which you won't. There are 16 of us, 8 at a turn, to make sure of that. By the way, now that it's already happened and you're going to die tomorrow, tell me, how did you and the others escape last time you were in prison?
The Lord our God takes care of his own.
Well, what does he mean?
He's trying to tell us that God let them out.
Well, do you think he will this time?
Even a god couldn't get by these massive doors and bolts and the noise they make when they're open, and 6 guards beside my friend and me locked to you like brothers. No, this is one time you're not going to escape. 16 of us will be beheaded if you do. And we're not going to be beheaded.
Oh, no. Well, look at that, will you? Asleep. And he looks so contented and peaceful, just as if he weren't going to die tomorrow.
He's an amazing man, you'll have to admit to that. And it's a shame, really. But die he will, tomorrow.
Marcus Julius Agrippa Herodes, King of Iturea, Trachonitis, Batania, Lysanes, Galilee, Perea, Judea, and Samaria, enters. Bend the knee. Long live the king.
Long live the king.
Captain, is everything as I ordered?
Yes, your majesty.
I remember now, I want this done exactly as I commanded. Peter is to be brought in with a great display of arms and guards, not only to ensure against his escape, but also to intimidate all sympathizers and to show my power and might. Go, bring the prisoner.
Guards are still stationed at their posts. Evidently, the prisoner is still in his cell.
He certainly is, sir. The only thing that's gone in or out of this door are 2 flies. That's how diligently we kept watch.
Well, I'm going in to get the prisoner, if you'll open the door. Corporal! The men may stand at ease while I'm inside.
Yes, sir. Regiment, at ease.
Thank you, guard.
Yes, sir.
Well, the second door is still closed and bolted. Has anyone gone out or in this door?
The king and high priest were here, sir, but they neither went in or out.
The prisoner is still inside?
Yes, sir.
Open up. A great crowd has gathered to witness this execution. It's rather morbid, I think. Each man to his own. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, rather dark in here. Hey, guards! Guards, where are you?
Over here, sir.
I bring the prisoner here where I can see him. Do you understand? Bring the prisoner here. Where's the prisoner? Did he escape?
We don't know, sir.
Is he here?
No, sir.
Then he escaped.
No, sir. He just disappeared, sir.
God, did the prisoner go through that door?
No, sir, he did not. No one did.
A man was here. A prisoner. Now, he is not here. He did not go through that door or the outer door. He just disappeared. Are you all insane, or am I?
Oh, we are, sir. We were sitting there talking, the other guard and I. Well, our wrists were chained. Securely to the prisoner's wrist. Oh, he fell asleep. Oh, we talked some more. We didn't hear a thing or see anything, but when we looked down at the sleeping prisoner, well, we saw that... Well, I mean, he wasn't there. Sir, the king doesn't execute insane guards does he?
Oh, he most certainly will, and if he doesn't, I will.
Well, what are you going to tell the king, Captain?
That I have a bunch of idiots for guards, and they let the prisoner escape.
Oh, you won't believe it, sir.
And neither do I.
Oh, how did he escape, Captain, sir?
He didn't.
He didn't? Oh, is he hiding around here somewhere?
He was let out.
I didn't.
No one went through these doors, Captain. Well, I'll swear to that.
Yeah, come on. We'll have to face the king sooner or later.
Oh, it might as well be now.
Your Majesty. Your Majesty, the doors were securely locked. No one had gone in or out. The chains were still fastened to the wrists of the two guards. Everything was in order, Your Majesty.
Yet, the prisoner did escape.
Something happened to him, Your Majesty.
I'll tell you what happened. These 16 prison guards are unfaithful to me. They let Peter escape.
If His Majesty will permit me to voice my opinion, I think some divine power from the god Peter worships sent his angel down.
There is no such god. I am God. My word is law. I order you, Captain, take these 16 unfaithful guards out and run them through right now, immediately.
Rhoda, answer the door.
Yes, sir. Who is it?
It's me, Peter. Let me in.
It's Peter. It's Peter at the door. He wants in.
I'm in. Well, you must be mistaken, Rhoda. Peter is in prison.
It is Peter. I recognized his voice. Really, I did. It is Peter.
It simply can't be Peter. Perhaps it's his angel.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Come, look out your window. What do you see?
Well, I see trees, grass, cars, buildings, and some kind of bird.
Do you know that there are things out there that are so small that you can only see them with a microscope, and they can kill you?
Are you trying to cheer me up?
They're called germs, and there are 100 million of them right out there just waiting to make you sick.
I'm already sick. That's why you came to visit me.
I was reading in a book that there is something we can do to fight those germs. And I'm not talking about medicine or getting a shot. Do you know what that is?
Close the window?
We can be happy.
Happy? You mean as in ha-ha happy?
That's right. When we have a positive attitude and we aren't grouchy or angry all the time, we help our bodies fight germs because our immune system is working harder than when we're sad or depressed. So are you happy, Sam?
I was until you started talking about germs.
King Solomon said that happiness can fight disease.
Solomon? The Bible guy?
Yes. I learned a Bible verse last year that says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." That's Proverbs 17:22. What do you think about that?
I think I need to lie down again. I feel my bones drying up.
Well, you just go to sleep and I'll come back and visit you later. Sam, I've got to make you happy so you can heal faster.
You're a true friend, Rico. Like the Bible says, he who lets a sick friend sleep makes his bones better.
Where is that found?
Sam 5:2.
I thought so.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you ever feel left out, like your friends want to be with someone else instead of you? What if you really needed those friends to help you solve a mystery? Chris and Maria discover an old safe in their grandparents' basement, but no one knows the combination. Who gave them money to build the cross above Mill Valley? Chris and Maria think the answer is inside the old safe. As they follow the clues, Chris learns some important lessons about friendship and jealousy, and about being a Christian. Chapter 5, Great Grandpa Archer. Chris's mouth fell open. Maria's eyes got really big. Who was Yo-Yo telling about their mystery? Chris wondered. They both ran into the living room. Yo-Yo, you were supposed to keep the mystery a secret, Chris said. But I just told Teddy, Yo-Yo whimpered as she hugged her stuffed bear. Teddy can keep secrets. I'm sorry, Chris. What are you all talking about? Mom's firm voice said from the kitchen. Mom was standing behind them with her arms folded. Chris's shoulders fell. Now Mom will know about the safe, too. I'd better explain it all so she understands why it's important. Over at Grandma and Grandpa's last night, we found Great-Grandpa Archer's old safe when we were playing hide-and-seek, Chris explained. Grandma told us no one knew what the combination to the old safe was, so it had never been opened. She said we could look through Great-Grandpa's old things that were in boxes beside the safe. I see, Mom said. And what did you find? Chris lowered his eyes. Nothing. Except I did find an old statue someone carved for Great-Grandpa. Grandma said I could keep it. And I found a bunch of old photographs, Maria added. I told Chris I thought Great-Grandpa might be the one who donated the money for Mill Valley's cross on the hill. But I can't prove it. I remember a picture of Great-Grandpa standing beside the cross when he wasn't wearing a beard. I think it might be a clue. Grandma might send me a picture if she finds the one I remember at Uncle John's. I'll go get the statue for you to look at, Mom, Chris said. He got up and went to his room. When he brought it out, Mom held out her hands for it. I remember this, Mom said. It used to sit in your great-grandpa's study. She held it out and looked at it at different angles. The man who carved this did a wonderful job. You'll have to take very good care of this, Chris. Chris nodded. I will. Then Mrs. Vargas got quiet. Chris could tell by the look on her face that she was thinking about something. I remember something else, she finally said. Your great-grandpa kept a safe in his study, too. It sat beside the big desk he used to write at. I also remember that one wall was filled with shelves full of books. Chris went back to his room to get his notebook and pencil. When he got back, he wrote down Mom's description of Great-Grandpa's study. How many books did Great-Grandpa write? He asked. 30 or 40, I believe. 40 books? Wow! Chris exclaimed. He wrote that down, too. There's a lot more to this mystery than I thought. Should we tell the other shoebox kids? Maria asked. We might need their help. And the more heads, the better, if we're going to search for the combination to that safe. That's a good idea, Chris agreed. It sounds like you two have a lot of detective work to do, Mom said. She checked her watch. It's been a long time since either of you saw Great-Grandpa's old house. If we can get the house ready for Sabbath quickly enough, maybe we should drive by and see it. I remember it from a long time ago, Maria said. It's sort of scary looking. Do you think we might find the combination there? Chris asked Mom. I don't know, Chris. It's a good idea to look everywhere, don't you think? People hide things in very peculiar places. I knew a woman who kept the combination to her safe in the phone book. Maybe Great-Grandpa wrote it on one of the bookshelves or something, Chris suggested. Mom agreed. She sighed. I wish the place had not been allowed to run down so much. What happened to it? Chris wanted to know. Why doesn't anyone live there anymore? Mom's eyebrows knitted together. Well, she said, I believe that when Grandpa Archer died, his belongings were divided equally among his children. The house was sold to pay off what was owed on it, and what was left over was divided up. None of his children could keep the house because it was so big and so expensive. Maria slowly set a can of beans in the pantry while she listened to Mom. What happened to the other owners? She asked. The people who bought it lived there for several years and then sold it. The second set of owners had some financial problems, and the bank took the house back because they couldn't make the payments. It's just too big for most people. Now it's too run down to attract buyers. If anyone were to buy it, they would have to make major repairs to it before moving in. Who owns it now? Maria wanted to know. The city. Mill Valley owns Great-Grandpa Archer's house? Yes, it does. Don't you remember a couple of years ago when I told your father that the city wanted to make it into a museum? It's in a good location, not too far from downtown, and in a historical section of town. Mrs. Vargas suddenly stood up and clapped her hands together. Listen, guys, if we're going to go, we had better hurry and get the house clean. Maria, you can start on one bathroom while Chris cleans his room. Chris went through his room like a tornado, picking up everything off the floor and bed. Somehow, things got placed back in order, and the bed even got made in the process. Maria cleaned the bathroom she was responsible for, and on her way past Chris's room, handed the cleaning supplies off to him. He headed straight to the bathroom it was his duty to clean, and started working. When they had finished cleaning, they went downstairs and grabbed their jackets. "Ready, Mom?" Chris called. "Just a minute. I'm just finishing putting together a bean casserole for potluck tomorrow." A moment later, Mrs. Vargas was slipping an arm into her jacket and reaching for her purse at the same time. She glanced outside. "I wish the wind would stop blowing, but I guess early spring is just a windy time of year. Let's hurry and go so we can be back before Dad gets home from work."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 4, The Missing Combination Mystery, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.